We return now to those moonlit hills outside of Astor. The scene. Tevolo hovering in the air in the depths of despair before a amorphous shape which only he truly knows. Candeia still playing the violin, gazing up at the moon. And four interlopers in this scene, nearby, hovering, trying to decide what to do. In the distance, very faintly, the calliope begins to play, beckoning the patrons in.
Okay.
Tevolo, the world fades away from you. You are hovering in a void, not quite literally, but your vision has tunneled in on the figure in front of you, because how could you possibly tear your eyes away? You left me.
You died.
You all hear Tevolo's words. Hollis glances nervously between the violin and the shade and the forest and the grasshopper. He looks at the other people here and says, "Well, so, what's the plan?"
Lorca is staring wide-eyed at Tevolo, having gone over to a shade that Hollis can't see, if I'm correct.
I think Hollis could see. I think Vesperia is the only one who couldn't see it at all.
Right. Lorca is going to go after Tevolo, climb over the grassy bank and stride towards the three figures he can see.
Okay. Hollis trails uncertainly behind, not wanting to be too close to the centre of things. And yes, you can see Tevolo hovering in the air, and you can see the kind of the hazy suggestion of a figure nearby. Obviously, you also see Candeia, who is not acknowledging the presence of any of you.
He whispers sort of in that loud... You go ahead.
I said, I'm drifting closer and reaching out for his face, just to touch him.
He flinches slightly. He is ever so slightly out of your reach. "You left me," he repeats reproachfully.
"I had to. You died. How could you? How dare you?"
Lorca will come up behind Tevolo and put his hand on the Flykinden's shoulder.
Okay. I'm going to say that, Tevolo, this is an opportunity for you to overcome.
Okay.
This effect. I think that's a reasonable interpretation, right? You are being startled out of an enchantment, basically, right?
Sure, yeah. I mean, either player know that I'm under magic effects, that either character do not, so...
Yeah. So I think that would be, like, overcoming with will.
Okay. I have mediocre will.
I think probably... Lorca, how's your... Do you have will as a skill?
I do.
I think in that case you're contributing teamwork here, right?
Yeah, I can see that.
That seems reasonable. So I get a plus one from that.
That gives you a plus one, yeah. So meanwhile, we have the ghost with some teamwork facing off against you. I'll give you the total. That is a total of one.
Okay. Let's give this a go. Neutral on the dice, plus one from the help.
So when you tie as an overcome action, you get what you were after at a minor cost. So I would say in this case, you kind of escape from this enchantment, but when you do, you're upset, you're disoriented. And I think I'll model that as a boost, if that's right. So, like, a boost of, like, disoriented on you,
Okay.
which I can invoke if I like. So, you feel this hand on your shoulder, and feel like you have been. You know, when you wake up and you're just wrenched out of sleep? You know, you're still mostly asleep, but something is dragging you out, and you feel awful and disoriented and confused.
Sure.
That's how you feel. It's as if you were waking up from a dream, and it was a good dream and a bad dream at the same time, and the details are fleeing you. You don't know how you got here. The last thing you really remember clearly is being in that performance earlier.
Okay, what am I seeing now?
So now you see Candeia playing the violin, and if when you turn around to see who's grabbed your shoulder, you can see the people behind you.
Okay, I'm not. The shade is just gone. There's no f amorphous blot.
It's
There's just
completely
nothing.
gone. It's
Okay.
completely gone.
Do I see the shade still? Do any of us?
Yes, the other people who so you and you and Elegant Scale can both still see it.
Okay.
Just that kind of impression.
So I was reaching for something and I suddenly don't know what it was, but my arm like really hurts where Loriquai stuck me earlier in the duel. So I just kind of grab at that because maybe that was what I was doing and look at Lorica and I just clearly am completely confused.
Volo. Volo, come back to me.
From what?
I look to the shade and step backwards, attempting to draw Volo with me. And I
Tivolo lets himself be led.
he looks him in the eyes and says, "What did you see? What can you see now?"
A grasshopper musician friend and a field. What is going to happen? What's happening?
He purses his lips for a minute, looks at the shade, and then speaks to Candeia, says her name. Candeia? Candeia?
She doesn't turn.
Elegant
She's
Scale starts striding towards her with intent.
okay. Are you intending to like, grab her or something?
Yeah.
What's your notice?
It's good. It's plus three.
Okay. You're a pretty good magician. And you feel a menacing, hostile power building as you get close, like something is about to lash out at you. Just that prickling on the hairs on the back of your arms.
Okay. Can I do anything to stay on my toes about it now that I'm aware of it? I still want to keep going, but
You could okay, if you're intent on pressing on, then I suppose what you could effectively do is essentially like dec No, I'm gonna say you could either like put your guards up, right? Effectively get yourself a plus two to your defenses. Or you could rush in and try and do whatever it is you were trying to do before it can, gather its strength to strike out at you. I say it might be her, it might be some presence, it's hard to say.
Okay. I'll try and rush in and grab her violin from her.
Okay. I think this probably qualifies as an attempt to create an advantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you're trying to do it physically, just physically grabbing,
yeah.
Which is probably fighting. It might be athletics, but probably fighting.
Okay, I don't have anything in that, so that'd just be a flat roll.
Yep.
Alrighty. Okay, that was average, so plus one for me.
Okay. So that was a zero for me. Okay, I think if I'm going to spend the fate point on this, I kind of have to reveal it. The white violin has a aspect, false friend, which I'm going to draw on with my from my pool of four fate points for this scene.
Hmm.
Which I'll use to just kind of edge over you, because you got one, right? Total.
Right.
There is a discordant note, and Candeia, like, she comes to herself somewhat, but she's backing away and turning her body to keep it out of your grasp. And then, I think the two of you are the only two who get to act, like, straight away. So then the other participants in the scene get to take a turn. And, yeah, I threatened violence, so I'd like you to defend with magic.
Okay. Okay, so adding my magic to that roll, that would make it a plus +5.
Oh, that's interesting. That is a tie. Oh, no, excuse me. That was a success, in fact. Yeah, you know what? I want to draw on this aspect, so I'm going to have to... I feel like it's reasonable for me to, like, reveal it, right? Yeah, you feel kind of... You know, you're a magician. You're attuned to, you know, magical flow in this way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to spend a second fate point for a reroll, and I'm drawing on Vengeful. Again, from the white violin, not from Candeia.
Okay, interesting. Roll again, then?
No, I roll again.
Oh, okay.
Ah, that's more like it. So that is a total of 11 against your 5.
Oh.
You can do the same sort of thing. You can, like, boost the roll with plus 2 or with a reroll. As it stands, you're looking at taking a major consequence from this.
How would I boost it?
So boosting is when you use an aspect, which can be yours, it can be a situation aspect, it can be, like, a relevant aspect to someone else. You spend a fate point, and this gives you either a flat plus 2, or it lets you re-roll all of your dice and choose take the better result.
Well, I feel like, I mean, no matter what I rolled, it would not be an 11.
That is true. That is true. But you can, with attacks specifically, it's not just a matter of, there's more of a matter of degree as well.
Okay. Is there any way I can, like, guard against, whatever this consequence is going to be? Make it less severe?
I mean, basically that would involve you spending fate to use one of your aspects. Though I'm not actually sure any of your aspects are gonna help you here.
No, I don't think any of them are suited for this. I'll take it.
Okay. So you're taking 5. Which you could buy off, for example, by taking by taking 1 point of mental stress and 1 moderate consequence.
Okay.
Or actually, I think you could take 3 points of mental stress because you have a will rating of 2. I think you have that 3 box available to you.
Yeah, my will's at 2, so I could take.
You could take the 3 box and take a mild consequence instead.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that instead then.
Okay. So, mark off that 3 box, and you take a mild consequence. So a consequence is essentially an aspect, right? It's generally not good, and is more useful for compulsion or your enemies drawing on it than for you personally. But it's fundamentally an aspect like any other. Think of it as kind of like a trouble, like a temporary trouble.
Okay.
So in this case, there is a terrible, like, pounding, angry note from the violin. Like, she's tapping on it with her fingers as well. Mm. To kind of give a percussion line underneath it. As she plays, you can feel shadows wrapping around you. You can just feel the presence made imminent upon you of figures or trees and undergrowth. It's hard to say. It's like watching a shadow puppet play. And they're surrounding you and they're threatening you. You haven't been hurt, not physically, but you know that you are in danger, that these phantoms could kill you as dead as a living blade. So I'm going to give you the mild consequence shadow dogged. You know, you are being pursued, you are being held, you are being threatened by these shadows.
Okay. Damn.
It's not ideal.
No, not ideal. Not great.
Okay. So at this point, our remaining magician, Lorca, you're not far from this, like, altercation. And you can kind of, you can sense the power here. And you can quite clearly see the shadow things sprouting and decaying and circling Elegant Scale. The others of you, you can only make out at best like the hint of a presence. You know, you can kind of as if you were catching things out of the corner of your eye. It's not clear to you because you're not magicians, you're not ready for this, you're not practiced at this. But that's tickling. I'm actually going to run a slightly different turn order system to the basic one, which is where whoever is best picks the next person to go until everyone's gone round. So who here? I think probably Tivolo. You're unlikely to get involved in this altercation, right?
At least at first, like. If I pick up that it is an altercation,
yeah.
I have a crossbow with me, but right now I have no idea what's happening.
Elegant Scale, sorry, not Elegant Scale, Lorca, you can kind of see that there is like a quite serious magical attack going on right now.
Oh yeah.
What's your, I think notice.
Okay, my notice is +2.
Okay, cool. Vesperia, you can see that Elegant Scale has gone forwards and then kind of fallen back, and you can hear the shift in the music, but you can't like really tell that it's a fight necessarily yet.
Mm-hmm.
Are you inclined to move forwards and intervene in any way?
Yes. I am wondering, can I tell, like, if Candeia is in control of the violin, or if the violin is in control of Candeia?
That's an excellent question, and would make for a great turn, I think. So we'll start with Elegant Scale, who's the kind of the top of the initiative order. What would you like to do?
Can I take flight and try and get away from these shadows?
Yeah, you super can. So you just, is your action just to flee? Or are you just taking to the air? Because taking to the air isn't like a action, it's easy for you to do.
Yeah, I'll just take to the air and, is everybody heading my way or just one person?
I'm not sure. Lorca, are you like moving in? Or?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I think probably just Lorca is?
Okay. Then I'll sort of fly up and, is there a way I can see if this magic is going to try and attack Lorca, or if it's focused on me, or is it just lashing out at anyone?
I think we can probably do this as a creation advantage, right? It's not obvious. That's not obvious, but I think probably in the process of trying to work it out, you could get some insight into the White Violin in general.
Okay.
You're probably trying to create an advantage with magic, right? Given that it's
right, yeah,
a magical idea. At which point, yeah, the relevant party will defend with magic. Okay. That is a 7 on my part.
Oh, man, I got another 5, but it's still not good enough.
I mean, if you can find a couple of aspects to play off of, then you could spend 2 fate to push through.
Right. I think Curious as a Caterpillar would work in this situation, because I am trying to figure something out here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe Center for Attention, too, because I'm also worried about myself being attacked, you know, again, potentially.
I think that's kind of tenuous.
It's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah. I mean, someone else can help out, maybe. But failing that, like, you would at least tie, which would get you something.
Okay. Lorca, do you have anything you could toss my way?
Oh, to help you figure something out about the violin? I don't know, actually. I don't think I do.
Okay, then I'll take what I have and just tie, then.
So that costs you 1 fate point.
Okay.
Note that down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in that case, so you get a boost, which is like a one-use kind of insight in this instance. So what you... So you're trying to work out, like, who's using who, basically, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
So maybe tell me a bit about what this magic is like. What's it like for you to try and work out things with magic?
How is magic... Like, does it have a... Is it visible in this?
It can be in your kind of mind's eye. As a butterfly, like, your magical tradition kind of uses the metaphor of tapestry, and you can learn to kind of, like, you know, visualize that, feel it, right?
I think I'd try and follow the threads of that shadow dogged that's on me back to the violin or Candia and try and suss out that way who's controlling who.
Ah. Okay. Definitely there, it comes through the violin first. And as you kind of, like, follow through that thread, you can kind of use that as a way to get into the threads of the violin's own magic and feel for that other connection. And what I'm going to do is, instead of giving you a new boost, since this is like an information gathering thing, right? I'm just going to give you a free invocation on the false friend. The false friend aspect for the White Violin. You get the impression that it's not that the White Violin is, like, directly, like, puppeteering her, but it's manipulating her, you know? It has gotten under her skin, into her head, right? It has convinced her that it is a friend to her.
Okay, it's gotten its hooks into her, then.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll shout down at Lorca. Go for the violin.
Nice. I think that that would be a good reason to, like, let Lorca kind of use their free invocation if he wanted. Speaking of, who do you want? Do you want Lorca to go next?
Yeah.
Lorca, you're up.
I hear Elegant Scale say, "Go for the violin," and there's a part of me that knows this thing is deeply magical, and that if I grasp it, it will possibly react in the same way that it has affected Elegant Scale. So instead, I am going to put one hand on Candia and one hand on the violin and try and pull them apart.
Okay. That sounds to me like it's probably probably trying to overcome, maybe with athletics or maybe fight.
I have athletics.
Okay.
But I would also like to do something else.
What is the also you'd like to do?
I want to use my art weapon, my sharp nail.
Okay.
To attempt to grasp Candeia's wrist and take a drop of her blood as while I'm wrenching the violin away.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you that if you succeed with style as kind of a freebie there.
Okay.
We'll see what you can do. So yeah.
I get a 3 for athletics.
Okay, that is a 1-point success. I feel like I'm kind of wrapping up here at this point, though. Like, if it goes wrong, it's pretty much all the marbles. So I'm going to put on that false friend to boost that. So that's 1 to my side. You can, of course, do similar things. You could presumably actually tag the same thing with the free invocation that Elegant Scale got, if Elegant Scale is willing to contribute that.
Yes.
Okay.
So at the moment, you are succeeding. I'm kind of out of other things to call on here. So, yeah, at the moment you are succeeding, you're not succeeding with style.
Okay.
If you did, like, spend another boost, you'd be succeeding with style.
How would I spend another boost? By invoking aspect?
If you invoked an aspect.
In which case, I am going to invoke necessary evil to actually hurt her.
Nice. All right.
To get her to drop the violin.
Okay. That's really nice and I like it. Cool. So I think the narrative thing here is, yeah, you get exactly what you want. You can dig that nail into her flesh. And, like, it's actually, it's almost a little needle in a sense. You know, you can actually, like, take blood through it. not a huge amount, but enough to get her taste. And then use that pain to loosen her grip so you can wrench the violin away. And she staggers back, howling, and, like, starts screaming, "Yanov! Yanov! Help me!" Yanov is her companion? Carer? It's not totally clear. Friend, maybe, just? The person whose presence she seems to tolerate the best, Beacondon. He's not here right now, though you're not terribly far from the wagons. And yeah, as you wrench the violin out of her hands, the strings fall silent. I think at this point you are not in a fight anymore.
What does the violin feel like? Now that it's out of her hands, do I get any sense from it?
Ooh. Just passively? No. No, it does feel... Ah! Oh no! You do get a sense of it. Shit, I've been forgetting all this time. you are, in fact, a mosquito. It kind of, shit. Should remember this a while ago. This is fine, though. It kind of just, you know, in all the excitement, it had kind of slipped your attention, but you can smell blood. And now that you have the violin in your hands, you can tell that there is blood running down the fretboard.
Is it Candeia's blood?
Yes, you can tell that. Of course you can. You can tell immediately it's Candeia's blood.
But it's not from where I wounded her?
No.
Oh. Okay.
She doesn't seem like she's, like, gearing up to attack you in any way. She seems more kind of just terrified, you know?
Lorca steps back away from her, holding the violin
She literally is collapsed to her knees, just wailing and occasionally screaming for Yanoff to come. You are close enough to the wagons that probably at least someone can hear you now that she is, like, straight up screaming.
Someone calm her down. Just get her to stop screaming.
Tavolo kind of looks around at all of you, who, from his perspective, all of you are being really weird. And says, I can go find Yanoff. Give me a sec.
No, don't.
Make your mind up.
I will go to her and kneel down on the ground next to her and offer my hand and try to comfort her. There. It is all right.
Okay. I think, given that you weren't involved in the altercation just now, this probably requires like a fair roll, right? So plus two. And it's definitely empathy, right? I don't think there's anything else to be.
Yeah. That's a four.
Okay. Yeah, that's plenty. She's certainly, like, she's willing to work with you here, right? Like, she's willing to accept that you are, in fact, friendly here.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I imagine you've had to, like, measure her and stuff at some point.
Yeah.
Like, she is kind of known for being not a people person at all. And, like, when you took her measurements, like, Yanoff came in with her and, like, she literally just, like, stood there like a statue the whole time, you know? But like, she is literally, like, clinging to you, sobbing, once she decides that you are, in fact, friendly.
Oh, do you know what is happening?
You will have to get a little bit of blood out of the back of your, clothes later.
Cold water, it'll be fine.
No, I was just... They came and they tried to hurt me. They're still here. And she, like, is kind of, like, twisting slightly to try and keep the other two in her field of vision.
Who is they?
And she kind of, like, takes a moment to, like, think, Lorca and Scale, and they stole my violin.
Do you know that your violin was causing harm?
No.
Is this your normal violin, or is this a new one?
It's just my normal violin. It's the one I perform with.
Well, I don't know exactly what was happening. People were seeing things that I was not seeing, but your violin was making something appear, which I do not think is normal. Have you done anything different than lately?
She sort of is thinking about that question when you're kind of like interrupted by the sound of like a child yelling, there's some people over there, like five, some flyers. You can hear them like yelling back into camp, and obviously it's carrying back to where you are as well. You're basically the edge of shouting distance.
Are they talking about us?
I'm the only one flying. Can I see anybody else up in the air from here?
I think probably if you sort of flew a circuit, you know, like flew like halfway out towards the camp and back, because the angle you're at now, like people's caravans and tents are kind of like blocking your view.
Yeah, I'll look down and kind of judge that she's not an immediate threat anymore and kind of do a bit of a circuit then.
Yeah, with that you can see like there's a handful of like people, like adults, you know, kind of gathering up, kind of like essentially like, you know, making a bit of a posse, right? And like picking up lanterns, that kind of thing. And particularly you can see someone who's like clearly shrugging into armor and sort of belting it up.
Are they people who are part of the circus or?
Yeah, they'll be like, probably if they're not like actually at the big top right now, they'll either be like sideshow people or they'll be like, you know, family followers.
Can I land next to them and try and see what's going on? I mean, as far as Elegant Scale knows, they're, you know, friendly.
Okay, yeah, I don't think this needs to be a big deal. Yeah, so you kind of fly towards them and, like, you definitely have some crossbows pointing at you as you get close.
Okay.
But, like, are you glowing right now?
Yeah, a bit. I think I would have started glowing to just try and chase away the shadows and then not dropped it, really.
Yeah. So when you land, like, you're in, like, a little knot of mostly beetles and roaches, and one Beacondon, specifically Yanov. And, like, you know, once people kind of cotton onto, well, there is only one glowing person around here, and they are a friend, people stop pointing crossbows at you. You know?
Good, good. I like that. I like when that happens.
Yeah, what's going on out there? Asks one person as their shoulder side by Yalaf, who says, was that Candaea?
It was. She was...
Fuck. He takes off running. He's not listening.
Okay. Scale will take off.
Everyone else is still waiting for your answer, but you know.
Scale looks between the Beacondon who took off running and everyone else and just sort of, sorry, I gotta deal with this. I'll be back. And, like, takes off after him.
Yeah. So he's got basically a hand axe. Really, like, more a wood-cutting axe than a fighting axe, but it's still an axe in one hand. He's carrying a lantern in the other. As he kind of, like, stumbles through the hillocks of the rise out behind. You know how it is when whenever you're trying to get anywhere overland in the dark, it turns out that the entire ground is made of little trip hazards.
Yes.
Obviously, you don't have to worry about that, because you can fly.
I'm just flying. Like, offering a little bit of light to try and help him not, like, break his neck as he's running out here.
Yeah, I think since, like, you're keeping pace with him, he'll ask, what happened to her? Is she all right? Is she going to be okay?
She's fine. She's fine. She attacked Tavolo and me. Well, she magicked Tavolo, and I don't know what was happening with that, but there's something odd with that violin.
He kind of shakes his head and says, well, did she attack you or not?
She did. She tried. I turned it aside, but I could tell it was coming from her. I don't know if she was
Control. Does she have a bow?
Well, of course, she had her violin. Of course she had a bow.
Could Lorca butt in on this?
I mean, you're not there. Like, he's moving towards you.
Right.
He kind of, like, stops asking questions at that point and focuses his breath and saves his breath for running. So, yeah, you basically have... I don't think you were far away, right? You're basically at the edge of shouting distance, so, like, what?
Right, a minute or two? Not very far away.
So, yeah. Within a minute or two, like, he gets close enough that she can see him and she'll, like, try and struggle out of your, like, hold, this barrier, and kind of go to him. They took my violin, and they tried to hurt me.
Well, hold on. The violin was hurting them first.
Give her back her violin!
Vess says that with their hand out.
Tavolo is giving Vess a very similar baffled look to what I expect Yanov is giving.
Yep.
She was attacking us with the violin, and she magicked Tavolo. She's not getting this violin back.
I really want to butt in now.
What?
By all means, you can butt in. Like, this is him, like, arriving.
Yeah.
Lorca looks around at everybody and says, they don't understand what happened. They don't know about magic.
I know about magic, and I don't understand what happened.
Just let me handle this. Now, Lorca looks like the guilty party here because he is covered in blood and holding a bloody violin.
Oh, yeah, there is that.
Well, I mean, covered in blood is, I
well,
think,
his hands at least.
He feels like he's smeared covered in blood.
Well, his hand, one of his hands is stained with blood from the attack, and the other one is stained with blood from the violin that he's holding in it. So.
Amazing.
He lays the violin on the ground, sort of keeping a weather eye on it, and holds up his hands towards Yanov. We can explain.
Well, you'd best start explaining.
I'm going to attempt to deceive.
Probably for the best.
So, Lorca says, we saw Candaea up on the hill here practicing alone. We went to come and see if she was okay. When we found her, she was in some sort of deep meditation. I think she must have cut herself from playing too vigorously. You can see the blood on the violin. She probably has a cut on her wrist or on her fingers. We took it away from her because we didn't want her to keep hurting herself. I don't think she understands what was happening.
Okay. What is your nasty little deception roll?
It's a plus 4.
Oh, damn.
Wow. Okay, so I got a 2, but I still have a fate point left for this scene. Oh, and you are covered in blood! So I'm going to make that a tie with my final fate point. Just using, I think it qualifies as a situation aspect, the fact that you are, again, I cannot stress this enough, like, covered in her blood. Holding her violin. So that will be a tie on the overcome, which means you succeed at a minor cost. Ah, which is easy for me. So you can boost if you want to, but otherwise I have an offer, so to speak.
See, I could boost with imposter, possibly, because I'm used to lying, but I'm not sure if that's appropriate because it's usually about myself.
Hmm.
I don't think I have anything else that's appropriate. I'll take the minor.
That's fine. Okay, so he looks, like, very relieved at this explanation. You know, he would love a rational explanation for what happened, right? And he kind of nods, kind of, like, very willing to accept it. And, like, he's kind of, like, holding Candeia, who is, like, clinging to him. Again, like, she doesn't normally, like, cling to him in that way. You know, it's usually more him kind of shadowing her, but, like, she's very upset. And he says, okay, right, see? It's just a misunderstanding. It's just a misunderstanding, Can. It's all fine. Everyone's friends here, okay? They're gonna give back your violin. Just give me the violin. I'll make sure she doesn't play it till she heals up. And he holds out a hand expectantly, because why wouldn't you give him back the violin with that explanation?
Yuck. Okay, fine. And I
would like to take a look at it first. I think maybe there is something sharp on it that would have caused her bleeding.
Ooh. And
I have many repair skills. So if you could just leave it with me, I'll take it back to my tent and you can pick it up there.
Like Candeia just like is like it like absolutely like turns her head and is like, No, don't take it, they'll destroy it, they'll steal it, it's okay. Why don't you come round? I mean, you've got to be getting going, right? I mean, you just come round. You come around tomorrow, right? I'll let you take a look at it then. Yeah, is that right, Ken? Like they won't see it. They won't take it away. It'll just be, they'll just come and have a look at it for you. All right.
Well, it is covered in blood, and it must be cleaned before the performance.
Oh! She's not performing tonight.
Oh.
The rest of us are though, and we'd better get going.
I am not performing. I do not perform.
Fair point.
The blood will be easier to clean off the violin the sooner we clean it off. Why don't you come back with me to my tent? And we will look at it together.
All right, how's that, okay? We'll look at it. I won't let it out of my sight, I promise, okay? I'll just get you back to your caravan. And I'll take it with Vess. And we'll just make sure it's not got any burrs, doesn't need restringing, all right? Like, she's pretty hesitant, she doesn't say anything, but eventually he says, yeah, that'll be all right. All right, come on, you come back this way. Can you hold this, actually? He kind of offers you the lantern so that he can, like, corral, can. And, yeah, I think that's probably a scene.
I would like to, after they leave, turn to Hollis.
Oh, actually, to be fair, that's a scene. Assume that Lorca actually hands it over either to Vess or to Yelov.
I hand it to Yanov because I'm assuming he's apt and therefore will be less likely to get a backlash from it.
Reasonable. Yeah, sorry, someone was saying after someone leaves.
Yes, after they leave, I would like to turn to Hollis and say, I know you know something about this. I do not know anything about this. Tell me what you know. And I would like to look very threatening.
Is this an attempt to provoke?
Not to provoke.
I mean, I think threatening someone is a provoke thing.
I guess not threatening. I would like to look intimidating.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, stern.
Yes.
So you're like basically what, following behind Yanov? A little way away so you can talk with that, with Hollis?
Yes. And keep the violin in my sight.
Hollis kind of protests, I don't really know much more than you. I'm basically here on a chance. You know, I swear, hand over my heart. But if you're gonna get a chance to get a look at it, I mean, goodness knows I'm not new to the big top, so I'll cast lots over it. It's the best I can do.
He'll what?
Cast lots over it. Perform some kind of divination.
Ah.
Cleromancy, specifically.
I see. Do I feel like he is being honest?
You would have to beat him in empathy versus deception.
I can absolutely do that.
Are you sure? Pretty good at that.
I'm pretty good at empathy. That's a 4.
Okay, you succeed with style, which doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter mechanically, but, you know, yes, certainly, like, yeah, okay, in that case, what I'll say is you get, like, not only do you know if he's lying right now, you get a better insight into him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I will absolutely put on the table his aspect in over his head. That's basically his trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's being completely sincere. Like, he's okay. Putting a brave face on it now, but, you know, you're also a spider, right? You are used to seeing straight through that kind of, like, default bland smile of good cheer and everything's fine, I'm in control, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, he is shit scared. He was pretty, like, ready to believe that you're all about to be killed in some horrible magical accident just then, you know? He definitely does not know, like, more than he's letting on, you know?
Okay. All right.
He's being very upfront with you, right now at least.
Okay, then I will just continue following Kendea and Yanis.
He'll come along. Yanis isn't that talkative, and will basically kind of get Kendea settled inside, you know, before kind of coming out with the violin again. And say, alright, do you want to what, go back to your tent or what?
Yes, that would be best. That is where all my tools are.
He's got it now, like, in its case to travel with.
All right.
And, yeah, you get to have a look at it.
How much blood was on it?
Not, like, huge amounts of blood, more just,
smears?
Yeah, smears, there you go. Like from a shallow cut that's been smeared around and irritated, rather than from a, like, deep and terrible cut.
Can I, like, examine the violin as I'm... See if there's anything else worth noticing.
Absolutely. Once he knows where you're going, Hollis will kind of duck away.
Oh.
For a bit.
Okay.
When you examine it, what are you examining it for?
First of all, I want to see if, like, the blood was smeared in the process of playing or, like, smeared beforehand.
Interesting.
Obviously, I'm going to check and make sure that it doesn't have any sharp bits that Kendea would have cut herself on. I don't know how much I'm able to see, but I want to see if I can feel if the violin has any sort of spirit of its own. Any sort of...
Mm. Okay, I'm going to say because you're not a magician.
Yeah.
Not something you can really tell.
Okay, that's sort of what I feel.
But you can certainly work out, like, you know, what's up with the blood, what's up with these strings, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Do you want to... I think that's investigation, right? I think it's an investigation skill.
Ick.
Ick?
Yes, ick, indeed.
Well, hang on, before I hear you say, I think just to work out what you were trying to work out there, would just require like an average roll. So plus one.
Okay. Well, currently have a minus one. I do... Is there some way that I can incorporate craft into and, like, acknowledge that, like, you know, normally my specialty is working with fabric, but I can do all sorts of repairs because, you know, I am an artisan on the road with a circus and people come to me with broken things.
I don't think... Is this renowned designer that you're trying to draw on?
Yeah, but I don't think that's really
plays.
Nah. Yeah. Okay.
Cool. I think probably then, like, unless you want to, like, really go for it, you don't get anything.
Okay.
You get to kind of, like, have a look at it. Yeah, like, yes, there's blood. You can tell there's not, like, you know, huge amounts of blood, just because that's just kind of obvious, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't tell if she was cut playing it or if she, like, cut herself and then played it, right?
Okay.
But, like, while you're kind of, like, looking over it, and, like, you know, quite genuinely checking the strings for, like, burrs or anything, right? See if it needs reassuring. Mm-hmm. Which doesn't seem to at all, right? Hollis will come in, and he's got, like, a handful of flat sticks. And he kind of looks around. I'm guessing there isn't a lot of open floor in your tent.
Did you say is or isn't?
Isn't.
No, but there is a large table that is mostly clear at the moment.
Okay. Like, Yanov eyes this new development extremely suspiciously, but doesn't really see the harm, as Hollis kind of puts a hand on the scroll of the violin, and with the other hand, because I assume you're working on the table in that case, right? With the other hand, kind of like throws the sticks up in the air, looks upwards as he reaches down and grabs like a handful of them, whichever ones will fall into his hand with one sweep, and then picks them up and kind of reads off the marks on them. He doesn't, he kind of like makes some like noises, but doesn't kind of volunteer anything while Yanov is waiting. I assume eventually you do give it back to Yanov?
Yes. Once I've got the blood cleaned up and
made
sure that there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, like, it's unusual, you know? And actually, one thing that you probably will tell just from working on it, even without succeeding on the investigation role, because it's kind of pretty obvious once you're this close, it's not wooden. It's chitin. The main body of it, at least. The fretboard might be wood, but the body is chitin. And yeah, it's chitin. It looks like it's been very like nicely like sanded down to remove the kind of natural pitting. And yeah, it's not really white. It's actually kind of more of a... It's a very kind of pale sandy colour. But you know, you can't draw many conclusions from that because you didn't succeed at your investigation role. Meanwhile, Hollis... Oof. Once Yanov is gone, Hollis will just kind of shrug and say, I don't know, but it's powerful and it's probably bad news. I'll tell you what, though, he says kind of very carefully. I mean, I think we can agree that it's best that she's not walking around with it, right? She's in no fit state.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we can sort of retrieve it, certainly I know someone who would be both grateful for it and able to deal with it safely.
I don't suppose you will tell me who this is.
I think he's already told you at least a version of told you who he's working for, right?
Or I know that he... I recognized something.
Yes, no, that's right. Oh, that's right, so he hasn't told you, but you do know.
That he's working for House Uriel.
Yes. Okay, So he kind of like just dissembled, you know, openly. He says, "Oh, you know, old family friend, etc. But someone who, seen it genuinely, would be a much safer guardian for it."
Do I know anything about, Alyssa of House Uriel, and like what she might do with a? What seems to be some sort of enchanted instrument.
I think that'll be like a contact roll.
Okay.
I think probably nothing like specific and obvious immediately, right? Like, this isn't like a close friend or rival of your family's.
Nope. That's a negative one.
So, yeah. You don't have much close knowledge of these people, you know?
Okay.
Right. Certainly, I'm sure most manipuli would be pleased to receive a powerful magical tool, especially if they can also work out how to keep it under their thumb.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Of course, a smart manipulus might take a look at it and go, "Ah, man, this shit's very cursed and I don't want any of it." At which point it makes an excellent gift for a manipulus you don't like. So, yeah.
All right.
Certainly, if he's working for some manipulus, then she'll probably be able to make use of what seems like a fairly powerful magical object.
Gotcha. Okay. Would you be able to steal it yourself, or would you need help?
I could really use some help. I mean, particularly in the whole not having it lash out and fry my brains out of my ears sort of thing.
Yes. Well, we should discuss this with my companions, and perhaps they will be of good assistance.
Great. Good idea. Good. Let's do that.
You have been listening to Banjax's unbelievable Gear Chain Circus. Your performance were Ben as Salvatore Volo, Moss as Vesperi of Tisano, Chris as Elegant Scales, and Haz as Lotka the Disabarist. Narration, editing, and composition was provided by me, Mel, and the setting is used by kind permission of Adrian Tchaikovsky, whose writing can be found wherever books are sold.
Does she have a bow?
Well, of course, she had her violin. Of course she had a bow.
You set us up for that.
I didn't mean to. Okay, search fate core for mechanisms for docking players' fate points.